Robinhood Radio presents Your Health with osteopathic physician Dr. Kim Tripp, a show presented monthly on Robinhood Radio, discussing the challenges faced and the solutions that are available for keeping vital health and well-being throughout our lives. And now, here's Dr. Tripp.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp, osteopathic physician. This is the seventh show in our series to bring you vital information and discussion of all sorts of health issues on your mind and in your life, from the unique perspective of traditional osteopathic medicine. So first, again, let's clarify what osteopathic medicine means. Osteopathic medicine is practiced by fully licensed physicians in the U.S. with a DO degree, a Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine. Our practice is based on the essential relationship in all living things between structure and function. In other words, the natural interdependence between anatomy and physiology, or between the physics of the body and its chemistry. As osteopathic physicians, we use our comprehensive and precisely detailed knowledge of anatomy and physiology to promote health and healing in our patients. We work gently with our hands to help your body restore optimal function based on optimal structure. Our medical specialty is therefore called osteopathic manual medicine. We receive uniquely in-depth training in anatomy and physiology and their relationship within your body in the context of a full physician's medical training. Only U.S.-trained osteopaths are fully licensed physicians and have all of the current medical pharmacopoeia, nutritional science, and full medical training at our disposal. This means that your individual treatment may include a wide range of approaches, but it will always be founded on our gentle hands-on work. We practice from the unique perspective of first looking for the health in our patients, rather than merely finding illness and disease. We work together with you, the patient, to help you build health and vitality in your body, mind, and spirit as the solution for health issues, rather than only treating the disease symptoms. So in the radio show, we tackle health issues from this point of view. What can we do to help you build your health and vitality in order to prevent and heal injuries and disease? And we do that by giving you some basic information about the problem, to help you understand what's happening, as well as offer solutions and guidance for helping yourself to heal and stay healthy based on our clinical experience in practice with our own patients. Well, here we are today, and I think it's finally spring at last. There are daffodils, green grass, we're hiking, we're biking, riding horses, playing tennis, playing golf, mending fences, digging gardens and rototilling, planting and staking, toting compost and weeding, rebuilding stone walls and steps. Hey, wait a minute, that's starting to sound like a lot of back work, and it is. So for the next couple of shows, we're going to talk about back pain in hopes of helping you understand it, avoid it, and recover from any re-entry low back aches and pains of spring. It's also, of course, the beginning of the spring allergy season. Tree pollen, mold, and dust are flying around in abundance after all that snow cover has finally melted, hopefully for the last time. We did one show on seasonal allergies last fall. If you'd like a review of what we discussed so far on seasonal allergies, you can listen to the Seasonal Allergies Your Health show online by going to Robinhood Radio's website, then the on-demand section, and scroll down and select the Your Health shows, and then you'll see the individual seasonal allergy show. But today we're going to talk about another potential seasonal issue, and that's back pain. If you have back pain, you're among many friends. Nearly everyone at some point has back pain that interferes with work, daily life, sports, or recreation. In the U.S., we spend more than $50 billion each year, that's billion with a B, on back pain, the most common cause of job-related disability and a leading cause of missed work, not to mention missed fun. There are two general types of back pain, acute and chronic, with many different potential causes for each. Acute back pain means pain that has come on suddenly and usually relatively severely. The word acute has many definitions, but medically, it refers to a generally severe onset condition of relatively short duration to date. Acute back pain is generally due to a sudden injury or strain and has been around for a short period of time, only a few days or a couple of weeks. It could be from a fracture, nerve compression, or disc injury, but most commonly it's due to severe muscle strain or spasm. It can be extremely painful and is generally what's at the bottom of people saying, quote, my back is out. Fortunately, it's usually resolved relatively quickly. Acute or short-term low back pain generally lasts from a few days to, unfortunately, a few weeks. Most acute back pain is structural in nature. It's the result of a strain or sudden trauma to the lower back. Pain from trauma may be caused by a sports injury, work around the house or in the garden, or a sudden jolt, such as in a car accident, fall, or other stress. Symptoms may range from muscle ache to shooting or stabbing pain with limited flexibility and or limited range of motion, or even an inability to stand up straight. Occasionally, pain felt in one part of the back may radiate, in other words, travel, to another part of the body, like down the leg, or may radiate from a disorder or injury elsewhere into the back. Some acute pain syndromes can become chronic and more serious, therefore, if left untreated. Chronic back pain is another animal altogether. Chronic back pain is pain that's been with you for a long time, and it can range from mild to very severe and be constant or worsening or variable. Pain that persists for more than 3 months is technically considered chronic. There are many, many, many possible causes of chronic back pain. For example, an incompletely healed disc, bone, or nerve injury, a structural anomaly like scoliosis, progressive arthritis or other musculoskeletal diseases, autoimmune conditions, post-surgical chronic pain, neuropathies, in other words, nerve pathologies, repetitive motion or task-related strains, which are analogous to carpal tunnel syndrome of the wrist but in the back, and even emotional or psychiatric conditions. Chronic back pain is often progressive, and the cause can be very difficult to determine. We'll focus on acute back pain today. We'll delve further into chronic back pain in the next show. So first, let's get the lay of the land by taking a quick look at the anatomy and structure of the back to get some insight into the function of the back and how these problems may occur. Our backs are literally the back of our trunks, and they're very complex. The back is built around our midline spine. The spine extends from the base of the skull all the way to our coccyx, or tailbone. The spine is considered as functionally divided into three areas: cervical, the spine in the neck; thoracic, the spine in the upper trunk where ribs are involved; and lumbar, the spine in the lower trunk without ribs, terminating in the sacrum and coccyx, or tailbone. The sacrum is a large bony structure roughly in the shape of a three-dimensional, upside-down, slightly curving pyramid, wider and thicker at the top and narrow and thinner at the bottom, where the coccyx dangles from its bottom. The sacrum sits between our two big pelvic bones, called the ilia. So the joints between each side of the sacrum and the right or left ilium are the sacroiliac joints, the famous SI joints. The spine itself is made up of 24 stacked vertebrae, 7 cervical vertebrae, the ones in the neck, numbered C1 through C7, 12 thoracic vertebrae, the ones in the upper trunk with ribs, numbered T1 through T12, and 5 lumbar vertebrae, the ones in the lower trunk, without ribs, labeled L1 through L5. A single vertebra is a rounded bone with a hollow center through which the spinal cord extends, Most vertebrae also have lateral wing-like extensions on either side, plus one prominence sticking out roughly backwards, to which a lot of other tissues can attach. The vertebrae are stacked on top of each other for the length of the back and can be loosely thought of as creating a flexible rod with a hollow core for the spinal cord that extends downwards from the brain. The detailed structure of the vertebrae creates smaller tubal spaces on each side of them called foramina. These are contiguous with the hollow core containing the spinal cord and are the areas through which the regional nerves that give us strength and sensation emerge from the spinal cord and travel out into the tissues these nerves innervate. A little like branch telephone wires for each house coming off of the main neighborhood line. Because the bones of the spinal column continue growing long after the spinal cord reaches its full length in childhood and stops, the nerve roots to the lower back and legs extend many inches down the spinal column before they exit foramina out into the tissues. This large bundle of nerve roots was named by early anatomists as the cauda equina, or horse's tail. Anything that impinges on the spinal cord, cauda equina, or nerve roots coming off of the spinal cord can cause pain and give us back pain. In between the vertebrae are spongy round discs acting as cushions or shock absorbers between the bony bodies of the vertebrae. These are the intervertebral discs, or just discs for short. If the discs bulge, protrude, or herniate out of their normal space between the vertebrae, they can press on the spinal cord or nerve roots and cause pain. When pain is caused by pressing on a nerve, it typically radiates along the course of that nerve, especially down the arm or leg. Then there are all the large, strong back muscles that attach to various vertebrae and run down both sides of the back and through and around our hips and buttocks in pairs, one on the right side, one on the left. They keep us upright and help to bend and flex our back, trunk, and hips. And there are several that are commonly involved in back pain, including muscles called the psoas and quadratus. In addition, there is a group of muscles deep to our buttocks that are commonly involved in a kind of back pain called sciatica. If any of these muscles are strained or spasm, they can cause back pain. Acute back pain can be caused by many things, but chief among those are muscle spasm, disc injury, infection, fracture, and even kidney stones. Muscle spasm is among the most common causes of acute back pain. When we pick up something too heavy for us, or pick up something light, but we've been working our back hard all day, if we twist too far, lunge too far, reach too far while trying to lift something, bend over to lift something heavy instead of bending down and up with our knees, all of these can strain back muscles. When a muscle perceives that it has been stretched too far and is on the verge of tearing, it reacts by contracting very rapidly and shortening fast, like a turtle quickly pulling its head into its shell. And that can set off a spasm in which the muscle keeps repeatedly contracting over and over again. And it's very painful when that happens. The psoas muscle is one of the large back muscles that travels down the lumbar spine on each side and wraps around our pelvis and attaches to the top of our inner thigh bone. It flexes the hip and trunk and is especially prone to acute spasm when we've not worked very hard for a while and then we decide to go at a heavy task or sport with gusto, just as is often the case in the spring. Such a spasm can be extremely painful, more so than some other more serious or permanent injuries, and it's often involved when we feel that our back is out. Other muscles that can commonly spasm include the piriformis muscle and the other associated muscles under our buttocks that rotate our hips outward. The piriformis muscle attaches to the sacrum and the hip and turns the hip outwards, as well as helping to stabilize the pelvis and our gait and stance. The sciatic nerve, which carries large nerve fibers from the spine to the legs, travels through or next to the piriformis muscle, and so it can be easily compressed when piriformis and its neighbor muscles spasm, giving us one acute cause for sciatica. Sciatica is the burning, one-sided low back pain that can include pain in the buttocks and even radiate down the back of one leg, sometimes all the way to the foot. Another cause of acute back pain is disc injury. The disc can protrude, can herniate, or actually be ruptured. The intervertebral discs are under constant pressure from the vertebrae above and below them in the face of gravity and motion. As discs age or are stressed, they can degenerate and weaken. The disc can then more easily bulge or be pushed into the space containing the spinal cord or a nerve root, causing pain. Most herniated discs occur in the lower lumbar portion of the spinal column. A much more serious complication of a ruptured disc is called cauda equina syndrome, which occurs when the disc is pushed into the spinal canal and compresses that bundle of lumbar and sacral nerve roots that stretch below the spinal cord proper. Permanent neurological damage may result if this syndrome is left untreated. Disc injury can also lead to acute sciatica when a herniated or ruptured disc presses on the sciatic nerve roots themselves. Acute back pain can also be caused by an infection with inflammation that flares up quickly, like osteomyelitis, which is an infection in the bones of the spine, or sacroiliitis, which is inflammation or infection in the sacroiliac joints, those SI joints. Our kidneys sit deep within our mid-back on either side of the spine, and we can sometimes get kidney stones. And usually, when we have kidney stones, we experience severe back pain. This is not your back's fault, but it can be extremely painful and feel like the problem is the back itself, even though it's actually kidney stones. And of course, any trauma that leads to fracture in the back will certainly give acute back pain. So what's to be done about acute back pain? Well, that depends on the cause. If you have a new back pain that came on suddenly after working or playing hard for the first time or two this season, or after lifting a heavy weight, it could be muscle spasm or disc injury. But if you've had a trauma, a car accident, a fall, a kick by a large animal, it could also be a fracture. In all cases, it's important to be evaluated by a physician if you have new back pain. In some cases, you may need imaging to determine the cause, but not always. The exact nature and pattern of your pain, as well as any other symptoms like new numbness and tingling in your legs or feet, a fever or chills, blood in your urine, difficulty standing, sitting, or walking, plus a detailed account of all your recent activities and any trauma will all be important clues to your physician as to the cause of your acute back pain. For infections and kidney stones, you may need medication. For fractures and severe disc injury, you may need hospitalization or even reparative surgery. For mild to moderate disc injuries and muscle spasms, the most common acute back problems, you will need rest and can benefit from osteopathic treatment. A good osteopathic physician who is a specialist in osteopathic manual medicine can be especially helpful for acute back pain. How can the gentle hands-on work of an osteopathic physician help with acute back pain? In the case of muscle spasm, the muscle is contracting repeatedly, overworking itself, leading to inflammation and sharp, sometimes excruciating pain during the actual spasm. In the case of disc herniation, the disc material itself has protruded out of its capsule and onto the spinal cord or nerve. compressing it and reducing the space there. An osteopathic physician who was a specialist in osteopathic manual medicine knows how to work gently and specifically and precisely with the structure of your back, the spine, vertebrae, discs, nerves, muscles, and surrounding tissues to relax spasm, relieve vertebral pressure on discs and associated tissues, relieve inflammation and pain, and help your body restore your back to optimal function. Osteopathic treatment also helps your body heal from infections, fractures, and surgery by optimizing circulation and lymphatic drainage, by helping to minimize inflammation, and to help prevent secondary spasming. And remember, a back injury takes time to heal. A simple muscle spasm has overworked and possibly torn the tissues, and it generally takes several weeks for the body to fully recover from a so-called minor injury like a back muscle spasm. So it's important to acknowledge this and not try to go back to your regular workload until the back is fully healed. Otherwise, it's all too easy to propagate the injury and wind up with a chronic pain situation. So let's review for a second. Acute back pain needs attention by a physician, whether it's a muscle strain or spasm, a disc injury, a fracture, infection, or even kidney stones. A back injury needs time and rest to heal, usually at least several weeks to recover completely, in order to allow it to fully heal and avoid developing a chronic pain syndrome. Osteopathy, as practiced by osteopathic physicians who are specialists in osteopathic manual medicine, can make a real difference in helping your back heal completely with gentle, precise, hands-on work. Well, it looks like that's all I have time for today. Next time, we will talk about chronic back pain and how to keep your back healthy to avoid all this back pain at all. In the meantime, I want to thank you very much for your attention to your health with Dr. Kim Tripp. Remember, you can email your suggestions for topics to yourhealth@robinhoodradio.com. If you have a health issue yourself and would like to find out about how we might be able to help you in our practice of traditional osteopathy at our office in Sharon, Connecticut, with Dr. Kim Tripp and Dr. Andrew Goldman at Goldman Tripp Osteopathic Healthcare, 860-364-5990. We are there Monday to Friday, 8:45 a.m. to 5 p.m. I will be looking forward to being with you next time, every other Friday at 12:30 and Sunday evenings at 5:30. Meantime, take care of yourself, enjoy your health, and thank you for listening.